It is very clear to me in watching companies and watching companies in this COVID environment in 2020, the companies that I most respect, some of those companies have had the best performance in their stock performance this year. And so more than ever before, long-term purposeful companies that are focusing on all their stakeholders, it enriches their culture. It builds this long-termism, and it builds this culture of togetherness in an organization more than anything you could imagine. And I believe more than ever before that those companies are the leading companies in every industry. And you see that in their stock performance, because those leading companies are generally awarded with higher multiples than their peers.
That is the voice of BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, and he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super U podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, for today's Super U podcast. I am your host, Eric Quammen. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Today, we have Larry Fink. He is the CEO of BlackRock, and I was fortunate to give a keynote speech in London for BlackRock, and so we're able to catch up and get 7 super tips from Larry Fink. For those not familiar with Larry Fink, he is the chairman and CEO of BlackRock, which is an American multinational investment management corporation. It is the largest money management firm in the world with more than $8.6 trillion in assets under management. So it gives them enormous power over the global financial system. And Fink's net worth is above $1 billion. So today's podcast, I hope you get a lot out of it. Even if you're not big into investing or big into finances, I think that his advice from a lot of these thought leaders holds true across just life in general. So I hope you get a lot out of today's podcast. And it is all possible. It's all made possible by Audible. Just listen to Audible. If you like to listen on the go, whether you're in your car, whether you're hitting the gym, whether you're just folding laundry at your house, Audible makes it all possible. You can listen to your favorite books out there on Audible. Whether that's some of my favorite authors, whether that's Matthew McConaughey, whether that's Malcolm Gladwell, Adam Grant, or yours truly, feel free to check out my new book on Audible, The Focus Project. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to get into 7 super tips from BlackRock CEO Larry Fink.
One thing I try to tell BlackRock citizens worldwide, and I gave a speech to our new incoming class of 230 young hires yesterday, and I said to them, here I am running this company now, not quite 25 years, and I still spend an hour a day studying the world and the markets. If it's not an hour, it's an hour and a half a day. And I'm still a student. I am still learning today as much as I was learning 20, 36 years ago when I started in the business. So our job globally is about investing, and it's about transfer of information to our clients. Our job is to provide risk management services to clients. So that means you have to be current. You have to be up to speed. You have to be responsive. You know, so whether you're in HR, legal, operations, technology. If you don't understand the world and the markets, what you're doing is probably not, you're not connecting with the firm. To me as a leader, that is one of the most important messages to everyone. That is my message to politicians. If you think you're not a student today and you're not learning, you're not gonna know how to govern this country, right? And my message to employees, is similar.
That's tip number one from Fink, who was born in 1952 into a Jewish family. Larry's mother was an English teacher while his father owned a shoe store, and he was brought up in Van Nuys, California. Here we are with tip number two.
As much as we may change our behaviors in the United States as a very wealthy country, as we may see the Canadas and the Europes change their behaviors, there are many parts of the world that are just beginning their growth curve and their wealth creation, and you know they're not going to stop it. But it's very hard for us to be judging them and their economic path. And there lies the problem. So we could do all that we are potentially able to do, and that will not be enough because so many other parts of the world are just adding more and more carbons to our air and to our earth. And that's not going to change anytime soon. So we need to be fair and just. We need to be open-minded how to do it.
Larry attended the University of California, Los Angeles, and he graduated with a BA in political science in 1974. Go Bruins! He then furthered his studies and completed his master's in business from UCLA Anderson School of Management in 1976. I actually wound up going to McCombs here in Austin, Texas, University of Texas. But the two other schools I checked out were the University of North Carolina and also the Anderson School of Management. I actually visited Westwood, gorgeous campus. And the greatest coach, basketball coach of all time outside of my coach, Tom Izzo, is who? Who was the UCLA coach? Anyone know? The Wizard of Westwood? That's right, John Wooden. Go check out some of his books. They're timeless. I love his books, his pyramid. So go check out his books. Okay, here we are with tip number 3.
The core of any organization, and certainly a core at BlackRock, which we commonly discuss, is the foundation of culture. So this is a organizational chart, how I think about the governance of BlackRock. You have to have a common culture that bonds everybody together. If you don't have that common culture, you have just pods. And to be successful today in the global capital markets, if you don't have a common bond, a common culture, you're going to have a very fractionalized organization, and you'll probably struggle financially. And I'll go into some of the firms that I think have been very strong in terms of building a common culture. Probably the most successful firm on a global basis is Goldman Sachs. And they have this common culture that binds it together. And then I could talk on the negative side a little bit, like Citigroup. Citigroup has done so many mergers that there is not a common culture today. And I think this is one of the reasons why it's struggling. So the foundation of BlackRock, the foundation of any firm, is having this culture of excellence that binds all the individuals together.
Larry's flossom moment. That's right. Fail fast, fail forward, fail better. His flossom moment was that he had a wrong prediction of interest rates, which taught Larry the biggest lesson of his life in his career, losing $100 million at First Boston. And so Larry had to face that mistake. And then as a young businessman, he was ready for a new start, one that involved a startup company called BlackRock, which he built into what it is today, $8.6 trillion assets under management. So here we are with tip number 4.
It is very clear to me in watching companies in this COVID environment in 2020, the companies that I most respect, some of those companies have had the best performance in their stock performance this year. And so more than ever before, long-term purposeful companies that are focusing on all their stakeholders, it enriches their culture. It builds this long-termism, and it builds this culture of togetherness in an organization more than anything you could imagine. And I believe more than ever before that those companies are the leading companies in every industry, and you see that in their stock performance. Because those leading companies are generally awarded with higher multiples than their peers. We're really seeing more and more evidence of these companies that are focused on all their stakeholders and focusing on building long-termism. They're really big winners. And you're seeing the companies that are navigating during the short term and pivoting all the time. They don't have a North Star and a mission to to really build that long-term durable profitability. What I would say, and I think why we've been rewarded, just like I admitted we were not doing enough related to diversity, and I was too optimistic in our movement, and I had to be much more introspective and make the changes. I have built a leadership team around my weaknesses, not my strengths. And it more than ever before, I admitted years and years ago that I'm not a scale operator. So if I'm not a scale operator, we have a pretty big scale firm and we have to manage really efficiency. I needed to hire leaders and have people, my co-partners to be really good scale operators. I'm really good at strategy. I'm really good at building culture. And I think I'm really good at markets, but running the trains on time, building the processes that I always believed in and I always lived in it, but I was not the executor of those processes. I may have been the visionaries of what we need. And so what I would just say, Tony, it wasn't me who made BlackRock really successful during COVID. It's been some of my other leaders who are truly excellent in terms of making the scale work, seeing the resiliency of our technology, and making sure that in this COVID environment, when we developed our technology, we never developed the technology that we're going to have 16,500 remote offices. And it worked. And so I don't want to personally say, I came up with some aha moment of my strategy that made us a better firm. I would also say when I see the asset management industry changing so dramatically right now, and I'm seeing so many changes, we have been really good staying in front of our clients' needs. And I think that's probably the most important thing. Our client needs in this COVID world is more information. In this remote world, the need for information is even more important. And so we are more connected with our clients. We're doing more Zoom calls, more connection. We're having more seminars. And so with a mantra of staying in front of our clients, I think we're actually in this COVID world even more connected with our clients than we were pre-COVID. On an operational side, as I said, it's my team that is really doing a great job at making sure our efficiencies are great. We're as operationally as efficient as ever before. And then having a great investor team in this environment is even more important of having information connectivity.
Fink has been married to his wife, Lori, since the mid-1970s. The couple own homes in Manhattan, North Salem, New York, and Vail, Colorado. The couple has three children. And Fink is a lifelong supporter of the Democratic Party, which is unusual, kind of indexed lower. Most hedge fund managers, most in financial sectors, usually skew Republican. So Fink is a lifelong supporter of the Democratic Party. Here we are with tip number 6.
I would just urge every student, as I urge my children as they advance their careers, was go into a career where you're passionate about, because it's a passion that's going to differentiate you. Don't go to the best firm if you don't believe you could be that passionate human being. Go to a firm or an industry where you believe you could be passionate about, where you could just really identify and show yourself and differentiate yourself. I have, in my 40 odd years, I've seen so many young people go into careers where they thought they could make the most money. And if that's your motivation, you're probably gonna lose. It's not about making the most money. Making the most money should be an outcome, it should not be a priority. I mean, and I think that's one of the lessons that I could tell everybody about BlackRock. We never had that passion about making money. I would say all 8 founders believed in building an organization, and all 8 founders were not that materialistic. Now we all are fabulously wealthy, but that is an outcome. That was not a passion. And I see in finance so many businesses, so many organizations. And I do believe there's parts of the financial ecosystem, like hedge funds and some areas of private equity. People do that with a motivation of making money. And, you know, I think what would differentiate BlackRock from the day one, it was all about client centric, client focus. And if we could meet the needs of our clients, if we could help them achieve their financial future, our outcome will be fine. And we live that mantra now for 32 years since we've been an organization. We've been public now 21 years. Our stock, I think, is up close to 5,000% in 21 years, maybe more than that now. I don't even keep track. We had an all-time high today as a stock. These are outcomes. These are not objectives. Yeah. And gosh, I would just tell everybody, as I told my children, go where you're passionate, where you're inspired, where you can make a difference. The outcome will be better than focusing on where you can make the most money, because that's, and if you don't like it, it's not going to work and you're not going to be happy.
And I would say probably the most important thing that we did from the first day we started the organization was we framed every question, we framed everything that we were doing on behalf of what the client needs. And that sounds kind of hokey and phony, but everything in terms of our acquisitions or mergers, the way we framed the company, the way we designed our technology, it was all done in the framework of what does the client need. And in addition, I must say now in 30 years, I mean, this is probably the most amazing feat that I could talk about in my career, that in these last 30 years, I never looked backwards. The trust that we have with our partners, the organization, the spirit of the firm, and the culture of the organization to try to constantly improve, grow, stay in front of the needs of the clients, focus on the totality of the firm, not any silos. After 30 years, I could proudly say we've been focused forward every day for 30 years.
Well, I'd love to know what your favorite tip is from today's show, so feel free to reach out to me. I'm an equal man across the board. Thank you for listening to today's show. Let us know how we can improve it. Also, feel free to rate us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to our podcast, the Super You Podcast. And thank you so much for doing all that you do. I know that our producers really appreciate it. And that's the amazing Savannah Pettinger, Jake Brin, and Kelsey Gomez. And so thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. This is Eric Qualman. A lot of you know me as Equal Man. Reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super, 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 super,
super you.